Good morning and a good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Ayin. We are holding on the very top of daf Ayin Amr Aleph, the top line, Amri Nahardai. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Leon Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha LeHashalom. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and captives who should all return home safely. Also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, Lizchus Rafor Shalema, for a fall Moshe Elimelech Ben Basha, Yishlav Rafor Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael, and also by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishmas, Chana Leia Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chaya Leia Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, all of the Neshamos Rav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is a Shtar Harsha'a, that when you give power of attorney to somebody, so first we're going to have a limitation, the idea that maybe you cannot write a Shtar Harsha'a on Metaltalin. Why on earth are we talking about that right now? Because we've just been discussing Rabbi Yochanan, that when something is Eino Bereshuso, even though you're the owner of it, but it's Eino Bereshuso, you lose certain power over it. So one of those powers you may lose over it is the ability to write a Shtar Harsha'a when something is Eino Bereshuso. And once we're talking about Shtar Harsha'a, the Gemara is going to get into some of the specific wording necessary to write a Shtar Harsha'a. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if you have a Shliach that went to court for you to be able to receive payment of something, can he keep a portion of the winnings as his payment on his own? Are you going to be able to be motzi miyado if he keeps a portion of the winnings as his payment for his services? Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about three different halachos. First halacha is all related to Dalet Vehei, all related to Tavach Machar paying Dalet Vehei. The first halacha is going to be about the level of edus necessary in order to be mechayev Dalet Vehei. The second halacha is going to talk about cases where one might have thought that we apply kam lei bidraba minei, but we are unable to apply kam lei bidraba minei, and therefore the person is still chayiv in dalet vehei. And the third halacha in the Mishnah is going to be if the shechita that you did, tavach, you were ganav v'tavach, but the shechita that you did is somehow not matir the basar ba'achila, still doesn't allow a person, it's not a valid shechita that will allow a person to eat the meat, are you still going to be chayiv dalet vehei? So we're going to have a machlo focus about that. The Gemara is going to discuss in the context of the level of edus necessary in order to be chayiv dalet vehei. The Gemara is going to discuss the principle of davar velo chatzi davar. That when do we assume that edus is only a chatzi davar and is therefore not a valid edus? We're going to have machlokas tanayim about davar velo chatzi davar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss about paying dalet vehei in cases we're going to have a stira. If I could just ask everyone to mute, it's a little distracting. There's someone that's not muted. EG is your initials. So Ganav Machar B'Shabbos, the Gemara is going to have a stira between our Mishnah and a Braisa when you're Ganav Machar B'Shabbos, whether you chayiv dalet vehei or not, and the Gemara is going to have two ways of resolving that contradiction. So let's begin the very top line of Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. At Amri Nahardai. So again, we're going to start this by discussing a Shtar Harsha'a. Amri Nahardai, lo kasvinan urkasa amitaltali. You can't write a Shtar Harsha'a, which is a power of attorney, on mitaltalim. You have mitaltalim that someone else, you own mitaltalim that's right now in the possession of somebody else, so you send a shliach to extract that mitaltalim from that person. You're not able to write a Shtar Harsha'a on that. And therefore, if the person who, the way Rashi understands, it's a pikadon, if the person who is the nifkad, who's holding on to the pikadon, gives that metaltalim to the shliach, and it gets lost along the road, the bailim can go back to the nifkad and be tovei it from him, because through giving it to that shliach, you have not fulfilled the requirement to give it back to the bailim, because the Shtar Harsha'a was invalid. It is not a Shtar Harsha'a, the the shliach is not a representative of the bailim. That's how Rashi understands that we're talking about a pikadon biyad hanifkad. Tosos, however, says, no, we can't possibly be talking about a pikadon, because the reason you're not allowed to write a shtar hasha'ah is a continuation of Rabbi Yochanan, is because it's eno bereshuso, whereas a pikadon is considered bereshuso. Meaning, how do we define bereshuso? I have things that I own right now that are in my house. I don't have them in front of me, but you're not going to say that that's eno bereshusi just because it's not in front of me. So I have something that I ask someone to watch for me. I have a shomer watching it for me. That's called eno bereshusi. That's not in my reshus. That's absolutely bereshus. If I want to be makdish something or mafkir something that I happen to have a shomer watching for me, I'm allowed to do that. So therefore, Tosso says, no, it must be that we're talking about metaltalin that were stolen from me. And that's what Nardaya is saying, that the nigzal is not able to write a shtar hasha'ah to a shliach to be motzi miyad gazlan. That you can't write a power of attorney to a shliach who's going to be motzi miyad gazlan. That's what the Ramban writes in the Melchamos as well, that they were talking about metaltalin of gneva and gazela. And many other Rishonim say that as well. The Ketzos tries to defend Rashi, and he says that maybe the case is not just a regular pikadon, but the nifkad has some sort of taina or tevia on the pikadon. Because min astam, that's why you would need harsha to get it back from him. Meaning, if it's stam, a shomer of mine, so what do I need harsha to get it back? Just ask for it back and you get it back. Harsha means I'm writing a power of attorney where someone's going to represent me in court. What do you need to go to court for if you just gave a pikadon to someone? No, we must be talking about a case where the shomer says, no, it's really mine. He has some sort of taina that he should be able to keep it. Oh, so if that's the case, then it's taka eno bereshuso. So that's how the Ketzos defends Rashi. So either way, since it's metaltalin, you cannot write a shtar hasha'ah where someone's going to be able to be you in the courtroom. Amar Ravashi la Meimer. So Ravashi says to Meimer, my taima. So what's the basis of such a halacha? So Amalei says, Mishum to Rabbi Yochanan. It's all based on what we've been talking about. Rabbi Yochanan, to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gozov lemes yashu abaylim. If a person steals an object and the baylim did not have yeush from it, shneim en yuchal lahagdish. Neither the rightful owner nor the gazlan are able to be makdish that item that was stolen. Zel if yishenu shalo, the gazlan can't be makdish it simply because it does not belong to him. Vizel if yishenu brishuso, and the nigzal can't be makdish it because it is not in his rishus, and you're not able to be makdish something unless it is both shalo and bereshuso. So just like you can't be makdishit, you also can't write a shtar harsha'ah on something that's eno bereshuso. The Ramban explains in the Melchamos that something that you can't be makdish and you can't be makna, you don't have any reshus over it. And therefore, you're not considered the bailim to be able to write a harsha'ah on it, all because you can't be makna it. Meaning the point is that it's not enough bereshuso for you to be able to effect a transaction on it, for you to be able to effect a kinyan on it, and therefore, you can't write a harsha'ah on it. The Rashba's shita is, no, even though you can't be makdish metaltalin that are stolen from you, because there's a gzeres hakasov that ma beso bereshuso, that when it comes to hegdish, it needs to be bereshuso in order for you to affect hegdish. However, you can be makna something with a mecher, a matana, even if it's eno bereshuso, and still you can't do a harsha'ah on it. So it must be that a milvah b'shtar is included, that you're not able to be makdish, but you're able to be makna, and nevertheless you cannot write harsha'ah. I mean, the way the Ramban understands is the inability to write harsha'ah is a function of an inability to be makna. The Rashba says nothing doing. You can be makna things that are not bereshuso. It's not about an inability to be makna. You have every right to give us a matana, a mecher, anything that's eno bereshuso. You still can't write harsha'ah, because harsha'ah is a function of your inability to be makdish something. So when it's eno bereshuso, it's exeris hakasa that you cannot be makdish something. So anyway, that is the first lashon over here, that you cannot write harsha'ah on metaltalin that is in someone else's possession because it's eno bereshuso. Ikata Amri, another version of what the Nahardai said, is entirely different. That Amri Nahardai, lo kasfinan Orkasa ametaltli dekaf Afrei. You're not allowed to write Ashtar Metaltalin that someone else is holding on to, and he has denied it. Only when he's been kofar in it, that he says he doesn't want to return it to you, only then are you not allowed to write Harsha'a. Time at the Kafrei, the only reason you can't write a Harsha'a is because the guy has denied it, and therefore, the Mechsi Keshikra, it looks like they're signing on a Shtar Sheker when you give, because you're giving it to a Shliach, something that it's as if you're giving a Shtar Harsha'a to a Shliach, or you're giving something over to a Shliach that you don't have, that's not really yours. So that's what you're not allowed to write Ashtar of a low Kafrei. But if the guy didn't deny anything, then Kasvinan, then you're able to write a Shtar Harsha'a, even though it's metaltalin, and even though it's in somebody else's rishus. So how do we pass him, like the first lashon of Nardai or like the second lashon of Nardai? Tosa says we split. That the halacha is like the second lashon in that you are allowed to write harsha'a on metaltalin. However, the halacha is not like the second lashon that we're worried about mechsi kashikra if the guy was kofar. So we go even further than the second lashon. I mean, the first lashon said if it's metaltalin in someone else's rishus, no harsha'a whatsoever. Second lashon said sometimes yes, if it's metaltalin in someone else's rishus, as long as they haven't been kofar, you could write a harsha'a, but otherwise, they've been kofar, you cannot write Arsha. How do we paskin beyond even that? We say you can write Arsha from a Taltlin even if the person has been kofar. So that's how Tosos writes. We paskin really like neither Lashon, but the way Tosos, how can we paskin like neither Lashon? Because we're paskining partially like the first and partially like the second. Like the second Lashon that you can write Arsha from a Taltlin, and like the first Lashon that whether he's kofar or not makes absolutely no difference. Another halacha relating to Arsha that once we're talking about it, Va'armi Naradai, that Nardoi had taught us about Arsha, Urksa de lo kasabe, any Shtar Arsha that does not have the following language, Zil don uzchi va'apik l'nafsheich, go and get involved in the Din Torah with the other party, and you'll be zocha and extract the money for yourself. So if you don't have that lashon, les pe mashasha, then it's not a real Shtar Harsha'a. My taima, why do you need that lashon? Mishum dam leheich, because the nifkad who's holding the metaltalin can say to this shliach who's coming on your behalf, lav bal dvarm didiat, you are not, I don't know who you are, I have no dealings with you. Why should I go to a din Torah with you? You're not the other party in my din Torah, so I'm not giving you anything. Amar Abaye v'iksiv bei, and if the Shtar Harsha'a says, I want you to go deal with the Din Torah, and you will be zocha lemechza leshlish lerevia to a percentage of the winnings in court. So miga de mishtai dina palga mishtai dina kula. Then the nitva cannot say lav baldvarim didiat because he is a partial baldvarim, and once he's able to be done the Din Torah about half or a quarter or a third because it is no gaya to him, that's when he's going to be able to keep. So then he's able to be mistayin on the entire amount, even on the chelek that goes to the bailim. Now the Rosh points out if let's say you didn't write the proper lashon, so we said the nifkat can say lav bal dvarm didiat, but if he gives it to him and it's an onus happens b'derech, he's going to be potter. It's only that we don't force the nifkad to give it to him. That's how the Rosh writes. Now the Rosh writes a little bit later on that we need explanation for this. Meaning, you know that he's the shliach. So what does this mean? We're not going to force the nifkad to give it to this guy because he could say, "I don't know this guy. He's guy. I have nothing to do with this guy." What do you mean? You know that he's the shliach. Maybe he's not power of attorney shtar harsha'a, but there is such a concept called shlichus. So shouldn't it be like any other? A random case of shlucho shaladam kamoso, where no special shtar is needed. If I appoint someone a shliach to do something for me, so they become like the bailim. So why would the chacham make a takana that the nifkad could say, "I'm not giving you anything because I don't know who you are"? What do you mean? He's a shliach. So the Rosh explains that we're choshesh that maybe the mafkid is going to be mevatel the shlichus and he's no longer a shliach. The only way we're going to trust that this person is still a shliach is if he's holding a shtar harsha'a. Because if he's holding a shtar harsha'a, then the mafkid has no ability to be mevatel the shlichus. The only way to be mevatel the shlichus is by confronting him, getting the shtar harsha'a back, ripping it up. Until then, this guy is the mafkid. So that's why we wouldn't give him any of the winnings if he were not, uh, if doesn't have a shtar harsha'a. Now so we had said that, but if the shtar harsha'a includes l'shlish or l'revia, that he's going to get some percentage of the winnings, then the nifkad can't say lav bal dvarm didiyat. So the prisha writes that the reason is because whatever the greater the winnings, the more he's going to get. So he's a bal dvarm on everything. I mean, you can't just say he's a bal dvarm on chatzi on a revia. No, he's a bal dvarm on all of it because he's getting a percentage. So however much there's an increase in the winnings, it relates to him. That's how he explains. The prisha explains the shitas harayvid in Hilchos Shluchim Paragimel Halacha Beis that if you say meir dinari mimashi yeshli biad ploni yu shalacha, then the nifkad doesn't have to deal with this guy. Meaning, if you don't give a percentage, you give a number, and you say, okay, I have a bunch of money by this nifkad, you'll get $100 of it if you can go and extract it in court from him. That is not a valid harsha. The nifkad could say, I don't know who you are, you got nothing to do with me, because his only shaychus is to $100. His shaychus is not to all of the money. Okay, so the Gemara brings machlokas whether tfisa would work. Amar Amemar itafas, if the shliach is tofes and holds the money for himself, meaning that he went and he won the case, and now he got all this money, and now he doesn't return it to the mafkid, lo mafkid minay, we're not able to take it away from him. Ravashi Amar Kivan de Kasvile called him Isani Mendina Kabbalah Salai, since he wrote him in the shtar, whatever you'll win or lose in din, I am a Kabbalah on myself, shliach shaveh, he made him a shliach alone, and therefore the Bailim can be motzi the mamon from him, because he's his shliach. V'ikad ha'amar, and others say, no, shutva shaveh, when he writes that in the Lashon of the Harsha, he's making him a shutaf. L'may nafkamina, what's the difference between whether you're making him a shliach or you're making him a shutaf? L'mitvas palga, to be tofes mechza, that if the shutaf, if he's a shutaf, then he can be tofes half of the money that he won in court, right? You hire this attorney to go represent you in court, and his fee is that he's going to keep half of the money. So if he's viewed as a shutaf and not a shliach, so then he's allowed to keep half of the money. If he's viewed as a shliach, he can't keep it. You may owe him money for services provided, but whatever he won in court, it really should go to you. V'ilchsa shliach shavi. We assume that he made him a shliach, and therefore he's not able to be tofes. The tfisa doesn't help. Okay, new Mishnah now. So we've been discussing the dinim of Dalet Vehe. So our Mishnah is going to tell us three different halachos relating to the dinim of Dalet Vehe. So halacha number one, Ganav al pi shnayim v'tavach u'machar al pi hem, O al pi shnayim acherim, misham tashlumei arba v'chamisha. We know that you chayv Dalet Vehe if you're Ganav, and then tavach u'machar. What if two Edim saw that you stole it, and then the same two Edim are also able to testify, you shechted and sold it. Okay, good, or sold it. So good, that obviously you chayv Dalet Vehe. What if two Edim saw that you stole it, and a different two Edim testify that you shechted it, or testify that you sold it, in that case you are also chayiv dalet vehi, even though it's two sets of edim. As we'll see in the Gemara, the chiddush of this line in the Mishnah is that we do not apply the principle of davar velo chatzi davar. One might have said, Edim saw that I shechted an animal. They don't know whose animal it is. They don't know that I stole that animal. So they're not testifying about anything, really. There's no halachic import to their testimony. It's only when you put it together with the testimony of the first set of Edim who saw that I stole it, only then does it give context and meaning to the second set of Edim. Maybe that's a chatzi davar. Maybe that's not a valid edus. So that's the chiddush of this first line, that we do not apply the principle of davar v'lo chatzi davar. Second halacha in the Mishnah, ganav umachar b'shabbos. If you steal, and then, whenever you stole, and then you sell it on Shabbos, where there's no chiyuv misa for selling something on Shabbos, it's not one of the lamatas melachos of Shabbos. Ganav umachar l'avodah zarah. You steal something and then you sell it for avodah zarah, where you're not chayiv misa for selling something to Avodah Zarah. If you shecht something on Shabbos, if you shecht something la Avodah Zarah, then you are Chayiv Misa, and that's what we're going to have a Mishnah later on. Then you're going to be pater from Dalet Vehe, because if you're Chayiv Misa, we apply Kamlei Bidraba Minei, meaning if at the time that you're shechting, then you're becoming Chayiv Misa, you're not going to have to pay Dalet Vehe. But at the time that you're selling to Avodah Zarah, or selling on Shabbos, you're not Chayiv Misa, and therefore you're still going to be Chayiv Dalet Vehe. ganav v'tavach b'yom ha-kippurim. If you steal an animal and then you shecht it on Yom Kippur. So yes, you're in violation of Yom Kippur when you shecht it, but violating a malach on Yom Kippur is a chiyuv kares, which happens b'day shamayim. So we don't apply kam le b'drab mine to chiyuv ekrisus. And therefore you're still going to be chayiv dalet v'hei. Ganav mishal aviv, let's say you steal something that belonged to your father, an animal that belonged to your father, a sharo seh that belonged to your father, v'tavachu machar, and then you either shechted it or sold it, v'achar kach meis aviv, and then the father died. So who's going to yarshin your father? I mean, you owe dalavei to your father, but now the father's no longer there. So essentially, you owe dalavei to yourself and all of your brothers. So that's what you do. You have to pay the dalvei to all the brothers that yarshined it together with you. So you chayiv. You have to pay the dalvei. Gan v'tavach v'achar kach hikdish. If you stole and you shechted an animal and then afterwards you were makdish that behema, mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. You're still going to pay dalvei in those cases. Okay. The third part of the Mishnah. Gan v'tavach l'rufua. Let's say you stole an animal and then you shechted it, but you didn't shecht it to eat it. You shechted it because you're using the meat as some sort of medication or to feed to the dogs or something like that. Not for the purposes of eating. Or let's say you can't eat it. Hashochet v'nimtzeis treifa. You stole the animal, you shechted it. Turns out the animal was a treifa. Hashochet chulin bazara. Or you stole an animal and it was a chulin animal and you shechted it in the azara. So it becomes asr bachila chulin bazara. So mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Still in all those cases, you pay dalet v'hei. Even though you don't end up eating the animal, and in the last two of those cases, you're not even able to eat the animal. Well, the animal is no longer kosher because it's either a treifa or it's chulin bazara. Still, Tanakama says he paid dal vehei. Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu. But Rabbi Shimon says, whoa, you just said three cases. I don't think you chayv dal vehei on the last two. Meaning when you shechted and you intend to use it l'klavim l'refuah, so it's perfectly kosher meat and you're just choosing not to use it as food. You're choosing to use it for something else. Yeah, that you can be chayv dal vehei because the meat is still, you know, it was a valid shechita. But when you shechted and turns out the animal is a treifa, you shechted and it was chulin ba'azara, it's not even a valid shechita. So for that, you're not going to be chayiv dalvei, not because of kam le b'drabinei, that was part two of the Mishnah. This you're chayiv dalvei because it's gana v'tavach, you're chayiv dalvei. This is not called tavach. The definition of shechita is a shechita that will thereby make the food kosher, make the meat kosher. If the meat's not kosher at the end of the day, then you're not going to be chayiv the dalet vehei. Okay, so now going back to the first part of the Mishnah, we had said in the Mishnah that if two Edom said that you stole it, and then another two Edom said that they saw they either shechted it or sold it, you're chayiv dalet vehei. Leima masnis and dilok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva amar davar v'lo chatzi davar, because doesn't Rabbi Akiva darshan the pasuk that says al pishnei Edom yakum davar, that it's dafka davar v'lo chatzi davar, that edus has to be on the entire story, not on half a story. And over here, the second set of edim are just being made that you shechted an animal, but they don't know that it's not your animal, so they're not being made on anything that has any halachic importance whatsoever. So the Gemara brings a braisa where Shitas Rabbi Akiva is stated. D'tanya, Amr Rabbi Yossi, kishalach Abba Chalafta etzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lilma Torah, when Abba Chalafta went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah, v'amri la Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri etzel Abba Chalafta, and some say it was the opposite, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri went to Abba Chalafta, just totally parenthetically, Rashi writes on Amud Beis that Chalafta is the name of Rabbi Yossi's father, and that's why he would call him Abba Chalafta. He was my father, Chalafta. So there's halach in Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Asim and Reish Mem that you're not allowed to call your father by his name. So the kash is, how could Rabbi Yossi call his father Abba Chalafta? So the Ramah over there writes, yes, you're not allowed, but in the context of not a father, in the context of a Rebbe, that you're not allowed to call your Rebbe by his first name either. So the Ramah writes that if you add a title, Rebbe Umori Ploni, then you're allowed to call him by his first name. So the Gra says that that's not only true of a Rebbe, that's true of a father as well. And the Raya is that Rabbi Yossi called his father Abba Chalafta. That since he didn't just call him Chalafta, he called him Abba Chalafta, and Abba's the title, so therefore he's allowed to call him by his first name. Sefer Ma'an Lashon writes that Rabbi Yossi said Kishahalach Abba Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan, and he actually didn't mention his name. And the Tana of the Brisa added the word Chalafta. So that's another Mahalich, that it's not that Rabbi Yossi says Abba Chalafta, it's Rabbi Yossi said Abba, but for our benefit, and we don't know who Rabbi Yossi's father was, whoever was recording the Brisa filled in, you know, Rabbi Yossi's father, Chalafta. So that we'll know exactly who it's talking about. So anyway, when somebody went to somebody, there was the following conversation that happened. Harishach Lashon Rishon B'fnei Shnayim. Let's say two Edom testified that a guy was living in a field and or benefiting from treating a field as his own for 1 year, and Shnia b'fnei Shnayim, and then another set of Edom testified that a guy was using the field as his own for a second year, and Shlishus b'fnei Shnayim, and another two Edom testified that he was using the field as his own for a third year. Mahu, is that a chazaka of Gimel Shanim? Meaning, when there's a dispute over who owns this karka, who owns this house, so normally what resolves the dispute is shtar. Do you have a shtar to produce that says that someone comes to me, I'm living in my house for 20 years, someone comes over to me and says, that's my house, you don't belong there. So how do I prove that it's not his house, that it's my house? I take out a shtar. That would be the easiest way to do it. I have a deed that this house belongs to me. Let's say I can't find it. It's been 20 years. So as long as I have edus that I've been there for 3 years, so then I have a chazaka and we assume that it actually belongs to me. So what if I don't have the same neighbors? The neighborhood keeps changing. It's a transient neighborhood. People keep moving in and out. So I don't have people that have been there for 3 years that can testify that I've been there for 3 years. But I have a neighbor that was there 3 years ago, another set of neighbors that was there 2 years ago, another set of neighbors that was there last year. So when all together, it would add up to 3 years. So is that a valid chazaka? So Amar Lo, Harezo Chazaka. He said, yes, that is a valid chazaka. Amar Lo, so he responded back to him, who the he and the him is, depend who the he was that asked the question. It was the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Abba Chalafta. So Afani Omer Kain says, I agree, but you should know not everyone agrees. Elish Rabbi Akiva Cholik, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer Dover Velo Chatzi Dover. Rabbi Akiva says that none of this is a full edus. Everybody's just being made that you were there for 1 year. That's a Dover Velo Chatzi Dover, and therefore that is not a valid edus to a chazaka. So Amar Abaye. So again, what we're trying to suggest is that since Rabbi Akiva holds of this principle of Dover Velo Chatzi Dover, Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah we said that if two Edom testify that you stole something and a different two Edom testify that you either shechted it or sold it, that's perfectly valid Edus Yuchayev Dalet Vehei. According to Rabbi Akiva, we should have said Dover Velo Chatzi Dover, that you're not Chayev Dalet Vehei. So Amar Abaye says, no, our Mishnah fits Rabbi Akiva, it's fine. Afilu Tem Rabbi Akiva. When does Rabbi Akiva say Dover Velo Chatzi Dover? By Achlo Shnei Chazaka, when it comes to three different years of Chazaka. But when it comes to our case, he'll admit that this is not called the Chatzi Dover. Mila Moda Rabbi Akiva, after all, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva be Moda Bishnayim Omrim Kidesh Ushnayim Omrim Baal, that if two Edom say that this woman had Kiddushin and therefore she's a married woman, and two other Edom come and say a month later that she had Bia with a different guy, so she violated the Isser of adultery, so the Afagav the Ede Bia Trich Lede Kiddushin, even though Ede Bia doesn't mean anything unless you know that she's married first, so we need the Eidei Kiddushin in order to give context to the Eidei Bia, that given the Eidei Kiddushin, let's see the Eidei Bia. But since the Eidei Kiddushin are saying something of halachic import, and they don't need the Eidei Bia for their Eidos to mean something, so Davar Karina Bay, we'd call it Davar, meaning when do we say Chatzi Davar? When none of the Eidos is independently meaningful. But if the first set of Eidim are saying something meaningful, and then the second set of Eidim are only meaningful in the context of the first set of Eidim, that's called a Davar Shalim. That actually is a Davar. So Achalami, over here also, in our Mishnah, Avgav Deidi Tzvicha Tzrich Deidi Geneva, even though the Eidim that the guy shechted something, shechted the animal, aren't meaningful, if not for the context that we know that it's a stolen animal, but given Deidi Geneva Lo Tzrich Deidi Tzvicha, Davar Karina Bey. But since Eidos that a guy stole something is inherently meaningful, is independently meaningful, so therefore it's called a Davar. So Rabbi Akiva is Moda, that when both sets of Edim do not require each other, that the first set of Edim independently is saying something meaningful, then we don't apply the principle of Davar, Velo Chatzi Davar. Now typically, if a man sleeps with an Eshes Ish, the only way to be Mechayev an Eshes Ish is if you can produce Eidei Kiddushin? You can produce Eidim that she was married. So Tosfos says, no. I mean, a couple's been married 20 years, and then the woman has an affair. So you have two Eidim that testify, yeah, this woman had an affair, and she says, I was never married. Well, 20 years, you were living in that, you have children, you have a wedding picture on the wall. I mean, what does that mean? You were never married. So the Tosfos writes, the idea that you need Eidei Kiddushin is only called man shlo huchsuka be'ishasish, where she's not muchsak as neshesish, but once people see them living kederach ish v'isha for 30 days, then she's assumed to be a neshesish, and that's enough context to be mechayev for adultery if eidim come and are made on adultery. So that's just the point over here is that when she's not huchsuk as neshesish, so the eidei kiddushin are saying something inherently, independently valuable, and therefore the eidei bia are able to be mechayev for misa. So I asked the Gemara of Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they think that if you have eidos, one set of Eidim saying 1 year of Chazakah, another set of Eidim a second year of Chazakah, another set of Eidim saying a third year of Chazakah, meaning the Shita of Abba Chalafta and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So, Hai Davar Velo Chatzi Davar Lemute Mai, what do they do with Davar Velo Chatzi Davar? Meaning, what are they excluding by saying Davar Velo Chatzi? What is the Torah excluding by saying Davar Velo Chatzi Davar? They hold that Eidos on 1 year of Chazakah can be combined with Eidos on another year of Chazakah and another year of Chazakah. So, is there any case that they would say, no, that's a chatzi davar? So it says, yeah, there is a case. Lemu'ute echad omer echad begaba, ve'echad omer echad bekresa. We're trying to establish if a girl is a gedola, if she's still a katana, or if she's a gedola. So the way we establish that is by simanim, that she has shtei sa'aros. So what if one eid says she has one sayar, and another eid says she has a different sayar? So can we put those two eidim together and say, oh, so there's shtei sa'aros? So no, you cannot, because that's a davar velo chatzi davar. Says Gemara, hai chatzi davar v'chatzi edusu. That's not even a chatzi davar. That means you have no edus on anything, because edus is defined as two edim. So you don't have two edim on any single hair. So that's not even a chatzi davar. That can't be what davar velo chatzi davar is excluding. Elu lemute shnayim omer mechad begaba v'shnayim omer mechad bekresa. That no, the case is that if two edim say we saw one hair, and two edim come and say we saw another hair, so that's where even the Rabbanan are going to say, davar velo chatzi davar, that is not a valid edus. Why is that any different than two edim say 1 year of chazakah, two edim say a second year of chazakah, another two edim say a third year of chazakah? Why is that any different than two edim saying on one hair and two edim saying on the other hair? So the Gemara says it, but somewhat cryptically, hani amri ketanihi vahani amri ketanihi. They're both saying that she's a katana, meaning they're both saying one hair. One hair is something that a katana would have. So neither of them are being made that she's a gedola. The Ramban in the Melchamos explains that the chiluk is that when each set of edim is made on one hair, they're not mitzarif. When three sets of edim are made on a separate year of chazakah, we are mitzarif the eduyos, because a sa'ara achas is not a simon of godless at all, because katanos very often have a sa'ara achas, so they were not made on any sort of godless, as opposed to chazakah. Any moment you spend in that field, you are doing chazakah. Elamai, you need a certain shear of chazakah in order for it to be for it to be actionable in court. So a year that you spend is a year of chazakah. So I'm being made on something, on an actual year of chazakah. It's just that that year of chazakah is not going to help me unless it's accompanied by two other years of chazakah. So that's how the Ramban explains the chilik. So again, to summarize, Rabbi Akiva holds davar v'lo chatzi davar would apply in a case three different sets of Eidim testifying about 3 years of Chazakah. Rabbi Akiva would be moda that it's a Dover Shalem if Eidim testify about a Bia when we have other Eidim to Eidei Kiddushin, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is probably moda in the case of our Mishnah as well, when two Eidim testify about Tavach Umachar, even though it was a different two Eidim that had testified about the fact that the fellow had stolen it. The Rabbanan would apply Dover V'lo Chatzi Davar when it's two different sets of Eidim on two hairs that a woman has. Okay. Gadol v'machar b'Shabbos. We then said that if you steal something and then you sell it on Shabbos, you pay arba v'chamisha, and you're not chayv misa for that. So there's no kamle b'draminei. Frekli gemara v'atanya pater, but we have a brisa that says not this way. We have a brisa that says that you're pater when you gadol v'machar b'Shabbos, because we do apply imply kam lebidra mine. So how do we reconcile that? Amar Rami Bar Chama. We're going to have two ways of reconciling it. Number one is Rami Bar Chama ki tanya he depater, but Amar lo akotz teina miteinasi. You know, when the Brisa says that you're pater because of your gun of the tavach umachar b'shabbes, gun of umachar b'shabbes. It's when the guy who's buying the behema off of you tells you on Shabbos, pick a te'ena off of my tree, and that will be your payment. That's how I'm buying it from you. So when you pick that te'ena off of the tree, you're affecting the mechira. Yeah, but you're also being mechal Shabbos. So since you're being mechal Shabbos, when you pick the te'ena off the tree, you're chayiv misa for that. Memela will apply. Kam lebidramine. That must be the case of the brisa. So Amri. So the Gemara asks on this teret. V'kimi l'chitavale kaman bedina. Now, if the bal ha'te'ena were to come and be tovea the mocher and beizdin, that now you owe me the animal. You took my te'ena. Give me the animal. Lar mina lezil shlim. Beizdin's not going to make him give you the animal. Because at the time that he picked the te'ena, he was chayiv misa. So therefore, he's not going to have to give you the animal. So doesn't that mean that the mechira wasn't a mechira? So if it wasn't a mechira, then he's not going to be chayiv dalet vei for that reason. So you can't call that ganav umachar b'shabbes. So again, we had our mission says ganav umachar b'shabbes. You're chayiv dalet vei because mechira is not a violation of any malacha on Shabbos. We had a brisa that says ganav umachar b'shabbes that you're pater on because you violated a Melech HaShabbos. How did you violate Melech HaShabbos? Rami Bar Chama explained, the Mechira was affected by pulling a Te'ena off of a tree. Says the Gemara, it doesn't work, because if the Mechira was affected by pulling a Te'ena off of a tree, the Mechira is not affected. The guy can't claim the animal from you, because you're already Chayiv Misa on that. Elo Amrav Papas, Rav Papas has a different explanation of the Braisa. Ba'omer Lo, the Lokeach, says to the Ganav and Shabbos, Zrok Gnuva Seich Lechatzeri V'tikni Li Gnuva Seich. Throw the animal into my chatzer, and now I'll be kone it with kinyan chatzer, and I'll pay you for that. And the ganav threw the behema into the chatzer of the lokeach, and therefore the lokeach was kone. So it turns out that at the moment the lokeach was kone, the mocher was chayiv misa for being motzi mirushus the rishus on Shabbos, and that's why he's pater from dalavei, because he was chayiv misa at that moment. So says Gemara Keman, but who is this assuming like? That's Krevi Akiva Damar Kluta Kami Shohun Chadamya, who holds that something that's hovering in the air space above a Rishos is as if it's considered, as if it's resting in the Rishos. So the Chiv Misa happens as soon as the animal goes into the Avir of the other guy's Rishos. And that's also when the Kinyan happens. And that's why you're Pater from payment of Dalet Vehei, because you're Chayiv Misa at the very moment that the Kinyan happens. Dikar Rabbanan, because if we assume like the Rabbanan, Kivan Damati L'chatzer Beso Kana, the Kinyan happens according to the Rabbanan as soon as it goes into the airspace of the fellow's chatzer, of the lokeach's chatzer. But in Shabbos, I'm chayiv ad mat l'ara. But you're only chayiv on Shabbos once it lands on the ground. So if you're not chayiv misa at the same moment that the mechira was chal, then we don't apply kam lebidra minei. Then so that wouldn't work to explain this brisa. We're trying to explain the brisa that says that you pater on the dalvei because we apply the principle of kam lebidra minei, that the case is that you chuck it into his rishos. According to Rabban, it doesn't work because it doesn't come be'idna. It doesn't come at the same time. That as soon as it goes into the airspace of the rishos, the mechira is chal, but you're not chayiv for Shabbos till it lands. So says Gemara, ba'omer lo tikni l'gnev usei chad shatzenuach. Now you could just play with the case a little bit. Say that the lokeach tells you, throw it into my rishus, but I'm not having das to be koned until it lands. So even though strictly speaking, you normally be koned as soon as it's in the airspace of your rishus, but you can decide that you don't want to be koned then. So you'll be koned dafka only when it lands in your rishus. So that is how we justify Rav Papa's answer. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar, I can even go back to Rami Bar Chama's answer and justify that. What was Rami Bar Chama's answer? Is where I affected the mechira by telling you, pick a ta'ena off of my tree. So the Gemara had asked, well, that's not a mechira, because you'll never be, if you take him to court to get the animal from him, the Bezin will not make him give you the animal, because he's chayiv misa for picking the ta'ena off of the tree. So Rav Amar Liolam Rami Bar Chama, that really, Rami Bar Chama, really Rami Bar Chama might be correct. And he said, think about it. Esnon Asra Torah Filu Ba'alimo. Even if a person is both Moel, his own mother, for payment, that payment is still Esther and Zona that cannot be used to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, wait a second. If the mother were to take him to court and say, this no good for nothing son of mine, he owes me money. Really? How does he owe you money? Well, there's an Esnan payment that I'm due, and therefore, and he hasn't paid for my services. So would Beis Din say, you have to pay for those services? Certainly not. The guy is chayv misa for being boel his mother. So he's not going to be chayv any mamon. But apparently, even though it's not actionable in Beis Din, Beis Din's not going to make him pay the money. But since when he does pay it, it has a status of esnan, so hachanami, in our case as well. When the guy picks the te'ina off of the tree and thereby affects the mechira, if you go, if the lokeach were to come to Beis Din and say, he owes me this animal because when he picked that te'ina, the animal became mine. Beis Din will not make him give you the animal. But still, it is a mechira. Why is it a mechira? Because by the esnan, why is it esnan? So Tosfos points out, because to be yotzei yidei shemayim, you have to pay the esnan, even though it's not actionable in Beis Din, but to be yotzei yidei shemayim, you actually have to pay it. Now, the question of klutu kamishal huncha is a question that some of the achronim deal with in other contexts. If a person is putting on tefillin and he says a bracha, and his tefillin haven't hit his head yet, but it's right above his head, and then he talks. So is that a hefsek in the bracha? Do we say kluta kamishoncha? So there's a discussion in the poskim how far we take this this principle. Okay, Bezashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of daf ayin aleph amud aleph at the two dots. Good day and a good l'chaydish, everybody.